Tony, let's go.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! If you're psyched as I am, get up! Yeah!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Now, I wonder how many people have been moved from their position. Now, I'm okay with people moving from their position. You get more information on things and it helps you come to a better conclusion on stuff. I can't support that because he wore pig socks. My cousin happens to be a police officer in Moni or wherever. I do wonder about that person that 3 years ago was just like, no, never, never on my team. Never shall he grace Soldier Field. And after about six games this year, they were like, So Kaepernick's available. Maybe the Bears should look there for quarterback help.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Glad that you are hanging out here with me. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a lot of stuff to get to today, including Tony's trip to Milwaukee to go see the Bulls compete and be competitive and still give up 120 points and lose. I was entertained. I was entertained for 2 hours watching the Bulls last night. And then I was like, oh, they're going to lose. And then we're going to look at the final score and be like, oh, they gave up 120 points. And we're going to have the Bart Simpson meme. Oh, you try. Got the cake. Just throw it right in the garbage. We start the show as we start all things with the rundown.
Hey, you know what? Do you have a rundown that I could take a look at just so I know what the rundown you're looking for?
Just keep it simple.
Keeping it simple. That's what I'm doing.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Friday, November 15th. We start with your Bulls. The Bulls yesterday, they got a lot of stuff accomplished offensively.
Rebound, Carter, right corner, Kobe White for three. Puts it down, Kobe White, second triple of the opening quarter.
And how about Wendell Carter getting an offensive rebound and then finding Kobe White wide open and alone in the corner.
Bulls by 8, 30-22 first quarter. Kobe White to Wendell Carter Jr., back to Kobe White. Flowing over the midcourt line, lets it fly, Kobe up and good. He's made 10 of his last 11 three-balls. He has three tonight here in Milwaukee. The Bulls lead by 4, 37-33. Lestansky lying to the lane with a spin. Gives it up, right elbow, White step back, right side three. Yes! Kobe White with his fifth triple. He is on fire.
Here's the thing, though. At the end, you kind of knew how it was going to go, that Giannis was going to come back into the game. What, he finished with 38 and 11 last night? You kind of knew that they were going to be able to hold off the Bulls, and they did just that.
Giannis all the way to the rim. Ooh. So easy. But again, it's hard to defend that big, long stride of Giannis Antetokounmpo. 30 points, six straight 30-point games for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Standing off to the right, they go back to Giannis. They got Satoransky playing him. This is a tough matchup for Sato. Couple of jab steps, and Giannis nails a 19-footer in front. Kobe White steps back, right side three. Pulled down by Giannis, and that's going to do it as he throws the ball ahead to Eric Bledsoe. Bledsoe throws it down, a two-handed dunk. You got to be kidding me. Why would you do that? Why would you dunk the ball winning by 9 points at the buzzer?
Because you can.
And because it wasn't at Bulls plus 10. There you go.
That shows you how they respect your team.
And there's nothing that the Bulls can do about it.
Nope, because they got a Giannis.
Except for Lauri Markkanen could shoot more in the second half.
Yeah, 2.2 shot attempts. I'm sorry.
That's not good, Jim Boylan.
I thought he was aggressive. I thought he tried to play the right way. He's using a lot of energy on defense. He had 5 fouls for most of the second half. And he's working at it and trying to help us win. So, there's more to the game than making shots. And I thought he tried to do the other things. I'm not going to make a big deal about the shots. We had open looks all over the place as a team. Maybe it's because they were guarding him and other people were open. You know, that happens in the game. So we don't talk about this guy has to get this many shots and this guy has to do that. We play basketball. and I thought he tried to play basketball.
Okay. The marketing watch continues because it's not been very good this season. For the Bears, here's what Matt Nagy says about their quarterback situation.
First of all, we all understand, I know I do, and I know he does, we all understand the significance and the importance of that position. If you're not or you don't, then you're not really being real with the situation. So we get it. But, you know, when you really look at the core of everything, the thing that we all understand that we do is that we're trying to do everything we can to for the best of the Chicago Bears and whatever that means. And so every day we attack it with just trying to, you know, you want to stay positive. And are there times where there's tough coaching or tough teaching? For sure. And are there times of, you know, frustration for everybody because of what we all want right now? Absolutely. But we all understand that we're all in this for one reason, and that's to be the best for our team, for the Bears, and to win.
All right, let's flip over to the defensive side because we haven't talked a lot about this. Although last week on this show, we had a long discussion about Khalil Mack and him not putting up the sack totals that you're used to seeing. Nick Williams actually leads the team in sacks. Chuck Pagano says that's his fault.
Yeah, I think that falls on myself, and I've got to do a better job of putting those guys, you know, in position, you know, take advantage of those matchups. So that's on me, and I got to do a better job there. I think we all understand. You know, Coach Ted talked about it, I think, a couple days ago. You know, it was everybody and anybody, you know, who blocked him this last game. You know, I think he said he might have mentioned it was only the quarterback that didn't. I said probably him and Coach Patricia, you know, and he probably would have, but he had a boot on, you know, so he couldn't get out there to block him. So, you know, he's garnering a lot of attention. And you talk about blueprints again. I think everybody's watching the tape and saying, okay, it's like us. We got to do everything we can to make sure 99 on their defense doesn't wreck the game, you know. So everybody's doing that. And you're exactly right. Other guys are going to have opportunities. You know, again, it falls squarely on my shoulders to put them in position to make those plays.
More on this game coming up with J.J. Stankovitz in the next segment. We're going to break down Bears versus Rams. But on Thursday night, they played the feud.
So third and 29 with 14 seconds left. Rudolph will dump it off to the left side. Trey Edmonds, the catch, sprints out of bounds. And a fight at the 9-yard line. Flags are thrown. The Browns and the Steelers, and Garrett just threw a punch. And Pittsburgh retaliating. Marquise Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying with 8 seconds left. The Steelers are running from the sideline to join in, and this one is going to end in ugly fashion.
So Mason Rudolph had gotten sacked on consecutive plays. Myles Garrett gets him. He lays on him. Garrett tries to grab his helmet and also may have put his leg down in the nether regions of Myles Garrett. Garrett then picks Rudolph up by the helmet, rips the helmet off as two of the offensive linemen for the Steelers try to get to him and stop him. Rudolph reaches for his helmet. Garrett's like, you can't have your helmet. I'm going to hit you in the head with it. And then things go absolutely haywire. They take him to the ground. He is kicked by Marquise Pouncey on the bottom of the pile. David DeCastro's out there like, what the hell's going on? Mason Rudolph is pushing at people. And then is it Ogunjobi? He comes in and knocks Rudolph to the ground. He doesn't have a helmet on. Everything's going crazy. Mike Tomlin's out there talking to Freddie Kitchens. No one knows what's going on. Myles Garrett is suspended indefinitely. There have been a couple other suspensions handed out in this, and football. I'll have more to say on this later, but maybe I'm just desensitized to the violence at this point in my life after watching and covering football. Something similar happened at Bears camp this year. Remember?
I mean, in another sport, they routinely throw 100 miles an hour at guys' heads.
Exactly, Tony. In another sport, even though they're not supposed to use their sticks to check people, they routinely do it. And the team you root for had a similar situation take place in training camp. It amazes me how many people from a national perspective, how many people that have actually played football, talked about, I've never seen anything like this. No, never. You never saw it? because I've seen it multiple times in practices. I saw Martellus Bennett pick up a teammate and slam him to the ground. That teammate will be playing corner for the Bears this weekend. I've seen fist fights and helmet throws in practices, and you have too. You've seen it in actual games. There was a game between the Texans and the Dolphins where it happened, and shockingly, Richie Incognito was involved. You've seen guys step on guys.
Texans and Titans, Andre Johnson fight with, Courtland
yes!
Finnegan?
You've seen that happen. That's what makes me laugh is that there's so many guys. I've never seen anything like this. You liar. You have seen it repeatedly. I'm going to talk with JJ Stankovic about the Bears-Rams game. Controlled violence. Back after this on The Score.
Have a little fun, brother. Okay? Have an awesome game today, man.
JJ Stankovic, covering the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago.
You are still taking your fitness very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go drink beer and have pizza after this, but I earned it.
Every single Friday.
I want to see it come out of you right here.
Yes, sir.
You take this thing over right now.
Yes, sir.
JJ Stankovic with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Yeah, let that ride a little bit, Tony. JJ made the request that we use Apache by Sugar Hill Gang because it is the moment that ties us together on television where we were doing that dance that you've seen on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and other places to that song. The segment is being brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. JJ Stankovic joins me now on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from in Melrose Park. Hello, JJ.
I don't know, Lawrence, if it's a good or a bad thing that my favorite thing I've ever done on TV is dance to Apache by the Sugar Hill Gang on the field at Lincoln Financial Field.
It's mine. I mean, I have it at the top of my Twitter account as my most favorite television moment in history.
Shout out to you and Tony for getting that on the you know, I was almost dancing here in the coat closet of Hallis Hall.
Well, we're happy that you're doing that. That's a very, very good thing. I appreciate you joining me. JJ does a great job of covering the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago. You should read his work at NBCSportsChicago.com. I wanted to get into the game a little bit because I think with there being so much news around the Bears this week and around the NFL, it's easy to lose sight that the Bears are getting ready for what I think for them is a big game. So what are they worried about as they get ready to travel to Los Angeles?
First and foremost, who they're going to have as their tight end, because Trey Burton has not practiced this week. We'll see what the final injury report, what his status is, but it could be anywhere from questionable to out. Adam Shaheen, same thing, popped up on the injury report, and I thought he would be a guy who could be active again if Burton were not to play on day, but now his status is in question. So does this mean that, you know, the Jesper Horsted hive finally gets their wish and he gets called up to the active roster and gets a shot at playing the U tight end? Does it mean we're going to see a lot of Ben Broniker and JP Holt? That is going to be such a huge question for the Bears because they haven't got anything out of their tight ends this year outside of that one pass to Ben Broniker last week, but B, I mean, if you don't have Burton and Shaheen, you're talking about the millions upon millions of dollars you guaranteed to Burton and are paying Burton this year. Your former second-round pick, neither of those guys being available is a problem. And I know some people listening to this might be thinking, well, they probably haven't been available all year because they haven't been good. Just having the bodies is a little bit different than not having the bodies. So that I'm going to be very curious what roster moves the Bears have to make if they're without Burton and or Shaheen on Sunday.
I'm in the Dax Raymond hive, by the way.
Just okay. But so Dax Raymond's more of an inline type.
I know, but I'm in his hive.
But they might need both. That's the thing. Because if you go into the game with two tight ends who are able to play, that's not enough. I mean, if you're going to have to find at least a third, whether it's Raymond or Horsted, to come up, because I don't think Bradley Sowell's an option here. So that's going to be an interesting thing. And look, you know, David Montgomery showed up on the injury report. I would probably expect him to play, just given that Matt Nagy is, you know, characterized it as being a minor ankle injury. But if Montgomery can't go, what does this offense look like? Does it look like what we saw against the Saints, where Matt Nagy just doesn't want to run the ball because he doesn't trust his, you know, Ryan Nall or if Kareth White comes up? That's going to be another question that they're going to need to answer. So the Bears are not going into this game at full strength. And you said, like you said, Lawrence, it is a very important game. You get to 5-5, you can start really thinking about being in the hunt. If you're 4-6, you're thinking about 2020.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. JJ Stankovic joining me here on the Scores. We talk Bears versus Rams. So what happened to Montgomery?
Matt Nagy said he rolled his ankle during Wednesday's practice. I have to be careful about what I say about what about Friday's practice. So I'll probably just leave that to the injury report when that comes out.
That's fair.
To provide a little
I don't want
detail,
you to lose your access.
But my gut is that Montgomery probably plays. My gut is that Burton does not.
Okay. All right. Wow. That's Trey Burton and his career here in Chicago has been, a thing for sure. Okay, then let's move over to the quarterback. Mitch has a big game ahead of him. The Rams have been underwhelming. I actually wrote something for NBCSportsChicago.com today about the Spider-Man meme and how these two teams are kind of like that. They're looking at each other and pointing at each other. What things on defense does Mitch have to be worried about?
Well, just the fact that Wade Phillips is probably going to use the same game plan he used last year because it was really effective. You know, just zone him up, keep everything in front of you, don't let him make plays with his feet. And, you know, the Rams defense, while it is not the group it has been, you still have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey on that team.
Yep.
Two of the NFL's biggest playmakers on defense. So, you know, Mitch is going to have to be cognizant of pressure being in his face from Aaron Donald. And he's going to have to be cognizant of whenever he throws the ball near Allen Robinson that Jalen Ramsey's probably going to be on him. So those are going to present two serious challenges in addition to the schematic challenges that Wade Phillips is going to provide him. You know, last year the Bears did a really good job on Aaron Donald. They blocked him up. They limited his impact to, I think, just one tackle. He didn't really get after Mitch in that game. I wonder if they can do that again. And I think moving Cody Whitehair to center probably helps a little bit. But, you know, he was going up against Brian Witzman and Cody Whitehair last year. Witzman, at least a veteran in this league. You know, I don't know how Rashad Coward's going to handle facing Aaron Donald. But that could be a really serious factor in this game. If Aaron Donald gets loose, the Bears' offense is going to have almost no chance of moving the ball and having any success. But if they can keep him contained and at least keep the pressure out of Trubisky's face, that should allow Mitch to see the field more clearly, make correct decisions, and not try to just force balls up toward Allen Robinson, which has kind of been his safety blanket. Because, again, for as good as A-Rob's been this year, Jalen Ramsey is a really darn good corner, and you don't want to force anything toward Allen Robinson when Jalen Ramsey is on him.
Has A-Rob talked about matching up with his old teammate?
He has, yeah. Cam Ellis wrote about that on NBC Sports Chicago this week, and it's kind of funny because A-Rob carries himself as a very calm, quiet, collected guy, but he admits he talks trash out there. It's not like, you know, he's not maybe on a level of Anthony Miller in terms of talking trash, but A-Rob can kind of, you know, give it back to some of these guys. And I think the matchup with Jalen Ramsey, where I would have to assume Jalen Ramsey probably has a pretty high level of respect for Allen Robinson, just going up against him in practice back in Jacksonville. That's going to be interesting how they handle that, because Allen Robinson, you know, he's playing at a Pro Bowl level this year, and I think if he can go and maybe beat up Jalen Ramsey a little bit on Sunday night, that will only help his case to make it to the Pro Bowl as maybe the only effective offensive weapon the Bears have.
Why isn't the Rams' offense working?
Oh, man. You know, so a lot of people around the league will tell you that it wasn't Vic Fangio and the Bears that really started this downfall of the Rams offense. It was actually the Lions the week before, where the Lions just said, you know what, we're not going to care about play action. And they stopped, you know, getting like biting on play action. Now they still gave up 30 points because they were bad last year. But then you look at what the Bears did to the Rams, and then building on that, Bill Belichick, obviously, in the Super Bowl, really stifled them. And you know, it's just kind of been this steady build from that Lions game to the Bears to a couple other teams in the playoffs, and then you get into the Super Bowl. And teams have kind of figured out that this play-action 11 personnel offense just don't bite on play-action, and Jared Goff is going to be liable to make mistakes. You know, because play action is supposed to open up open receivers, easy throws for Goff to make. If those throws are not there, he is vulnerable. And we've seen that this year. And I do think that the Bears deserve some credit for kind of scrambling this whole McVay offense. But give the Lions some credit, too, for at least, you know, kind of sketching the blueprint and then the Bears filling in the edges of it and then Bill Belichick building the darn building. So I think that that is kind of the process that I look at it. But, you know, this is a good opportunity for the Bears defense to show we can overcome losing not only Akeem Hicks but Danny Trevathan, because that, to me, losing those two guys presents a really significant hurdle for this defense to get over.
JJ, why aren't the Bears at least publicly saying that they're going to send someone down to Atlanta to see Kaepernick?
You know, Lawrence, it's not surprising. You know, this organization is extremely secretive with every little bit of decision-making they try to do. And Ryan Pace does not talk to the media during the season. He lets Matt Nagy speak for the organization, kind of a one-voice, one-team approach. But in a situation like this, you kind of do need to say, hey, we're either going or we're not going, because either way, it is an important question to answer. You know, I think the way the NFL has set this up is just so incompetent, in that you tell teams on a Tuesday, hey, we're having this workout on Saturday, but teams already have their college scouting assignments. You know, their area scouts, their national scouts, their GMs, their player personnel guys are all probably already locked into where they're going. So, you know, I don't know if, you know, maybe the Bears are sending someone to go to the Georgia-Auburn game and, hey, just pop over to Atlanta and go see Colin Kaepernick. I don't know if that's the case. I think it's a question worth asking again today to see if there is any clarity on it with Matt Nagy. But yeah, if the Bears don't send someone to this workout, even if this workout is a sham and a joke by the NFL, that is just, you know, essentially a PR stunt. Even if you don't send anyone, if you don't send anyone, you're not doing yourself any favors, because you're not going to sign Colin Kaepernick this year. But you might want to next year. If you go to this workout and you're like, nah, he's still got it, you might want to bring him in next year as competition for Mitch Trubisky. And if you don't go to this workout because for whatever reason you can't make it work, or you just don't want to, you're doing yourself a disservice for trying to figure out your quarterback position in 2020.
JJ, as always, I appreciate the information. Thank you for the great job that you do on the Under Center podcast and your work at NBC Sports Chicago and being a weekly guest here on our show.
Always fun. Thanks, Lawrence.
That is JJ Stankovic of NBC Sports Chicago. I love talking with JJ. He's great. And if you're looking for the video that I'm talking about, at the top of my Twitter account, at Lawrence W. Holmes, I have it pinned to my Twitter account where they played Apache by Sugar Hill Gang while JJ was doing a live hit with us. And we decided that we were just going to go for it. And we went for the dance. And it's my favorite moment that I've ever been involved in television-wise, because it was ridiculous. And no one knew that JJ was going to go for it, and then he went for it, and it was fantastic. I want to talk more about the workout in Atlanta. I want to talk about the pearl clutching on the situation in Pittsburgh last night. And we got a lot of other stuff that we're going to do on the show, too. A little bit of basketball, and a show announcement is coming up. We have a big announcement that we want to share. We'll do that. You're listening to Lawrence Holmes. That's me. Here on The Score until 2. Stretch my hands to you. Yeah. 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 The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the fine folks over at the Chicago Wolves. I saw some Wolves t-shirts in the back. We are winners. We are the Wolves. That's right. You can win a ride on the Zamboni on the ice during intermission of a Chicago Wolves game. If you want to try it, sign up to take a spin on the new Turtle Wax Icebox. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. There's a lot of stuff that's on my mind and on my plate of things that I would like to discuss today. Here's my issue with and we'll get into it more in depth. I guess now is as good a time as any. With the situation that happened last night in Pittsburgh, I'm sure that I will have to repeat this because there were people who would be like, well, why did you say it? What Myles Garrett did was wrong. He deserves to be punished. And he has been. He's been suspended indefinitely. What I find irritating is that our suspension of disbelief about the level of violence that goes on inside of a football game.
Or the type of mentality
yes.
for those players to have to
yes.
be effective
Tony,
at their job.
You hit it right on the head. No pun intended. This is a game that forces people to have to be, in some cases, the best versions of themselves, and in some cases, the worst versions of themselves. It's a hard thing to contain. It is a violent, violent game, and it's part of the reason that we love it. It's so violent. It's such a violent game, and we have accepted so much of the violence that goes along in football that the fact that three guys got knocked out of the game yesterday with concussions, with one guy bleeding from his ear as they took him off the field, doesn't matter to us. You are willing to accept a version of violence, not realizing that sometimes that violence is going to spill into the ridiculous, to the illegal, and to the wrong. And it spilled over last night with a lot of wrong going on between a lot of guys whose adrenaline spiked, and no one could do anything to stop it. Mason Rudolph's adrenaline spikes as he's on the bottom of getting his ass kicked all night. All night. His adrenaline spikes. He doesn't like the Garrett's laying on top of him. So what does he do? He grabs at his helmet. He pulls at his helmet, trying to get him off of him and get that helmet off and probably release some frustration. And he may have also kicked him. Who knows? Myles Garrett, whose adrenaline is pumping, he hit the quarterback. He got a sack. That defense had been lights out against Mason Rudolph all night. The game's almost over. I got him on the ground. Oh, he's pulling my helmet. Well, I'm going to pull his helmet. Lifts the man up by his helmet, which to me is the scarier part of what happened yesterday. Gets the helmet off. Rudolph, who is still having his adrenaline spike, is like, that's my bleeping helmet. Give it back. You want it back? Great. Dong. And now it's a circus. My point is that over the last 12 hours, I have consumed, whether it's your tweets, national pundits, guys who have played in the NFL, I have consumed a ton of hypocrisy. And I am desensitized to the violence. I admit that that might be a bias at this point after having covered the NFL for the last 16 years. Is it crazy what happened? Yeah, it's wild. That there's video of it. It's completely wild. But it's not unprecedented. It's not. This level of violence in sports in particular, we close our eyes to it. For example, this guy hit a home run. I'm going to throw a ball at him. That's equipment that's being used as a weapon. And we go, it's just part of baseball. Guys using sticks to check guys that are in front of the net. Hit guys in their spine with sticks. Hit them in their shoulders with sticks. We don't seem to care. You don't even care that the equipment was used for violence before it got taken off Mason Rudolph's head. Guys are trying to cut block guys' knees. Guys are lowering the crown of the helmet to make it a weapon. And yesterday, they realized, oh, it can be used as an actual weapon. Oh, we should probably do that. Do something about that. It's already in the rule books. I'm not offended to the point of having to stand on the table and tell you how wrong it is. You know, it's absolutely wrong. Do you really need me to validate this one for you? It's wrong, and he's being punished. He should be punished, and he is. Everyone involved in that thing should be punished. Yes, Tony?
I'm just thinking about Myles Garrett, the person, because I've been intrigued by him for a while. Like, he was like this quiet number one overall pick that nobody really looked at on how great he was.
A lot of people have said that Myles Garrett doesn't have the temperament.
He doesn't.
To play this game. In a negative way. In a negative way, because he's a guy that likes dinosaurs and likes to write poetry.
He's a different dude than the normal football player. And I think people forget this story. He got sucker punched by a fan this season, too.
Yes.
And he didn't attack that fan.
But look, Myles Garrett this year has had a bunch of late hits on quarterbacks. So them suspending him makes a lot of sense. It's the same thing with Vontaze Burfict. That if you're a repeat offender, if you keep coloring outside the lines, then you got to go. You got to go. But I'm watching a host of ex-football players that have seen and been a part of worse in practices. Act as if they've never seen anything like that. It's funny to me. And it's funny to me how we compartmentalize the violence of the game. But then we're like, oh, no. No. What do you mean these guys have to get to a point where they have to play that violently that it may spill over? I can't accept that.
And I think people are still taking this conversation that we're having the wrong way still. Like, nobody is condoning the behavior. All right, pay attention.
No,
pay attention.
Tony, it doesn't
matter. Nobody is condoning what he did as right or justified.
No,
I'm looking at the plenty of texts that are coming in. They aren't listening.
Right. They've already staked their position. Their position is it was assault and battery. I had one guy that I was texting with during the break. And he's like, we've never seen anything like this before. Then I sent him the video of it happening between the Texans and the Dolphins. And he's like, well, no one's ever connected. And I'm like, so the attempted battery, fine. The actual battery, bad. Come on. It's hard for me to muster. And again, it may be me. I may be desensitized to the violence at this point. Even last night, I was like, wow, this is wild. And then I was like, it's about right for a football fight.
Man, people love the high horse, man. They love that soapbox whenever they get a chance to. Like, if you actually wanted to look at some of the records on these dudes, like in real life, fam, why is Cap out of the league again?
Yeah. This text says practices are on national television. Come on. Yeah, you're right. They aren't. And it's jarring for people when they see the video of stuff like this. I'm barely talking about you. I'm mostly talking about Jonathan Vilma and Damian Woody and any other ex-player that is commented, but specifically Jonathan Vilma, who, last I heard, was the central character in Bounty Gate. You know, the inflicting violence on quarterbacks and trying to concuss them to get them out of the game. You know, the violent part of it. And him clutching his pearls. Come on, man.
They're too far away from it. Like, we trust their judgment because they were former players. But being in that headspace on the field, it's so different than real life.
It is.
And once you step away from it and are doing something else and reconnecting to normal life as a citizen.
I'm amazed it doesn't happen more with the type of violence and disrespect that happens inside of a football game on every single play.
That the players don't take it home with them?
That they don't take it. Like, let's take Khalil Mack, for example. What did we talk about for a whole segment last week about Mac? Him getting crack blocked by wide receivers when he's not looking. Or guys trying to cut his legs off to make a block. How do you not How do you not take that with you? Oh, it's part of the game. Right. But my knee, I need it. Papa John's is giving you a free pizza this weekend. Buy one pizza at regular price and get a second pizza of equal or less value for free. Use promo code FREEPIZZADAY on the Papa John's app or online at papajohns.com. That's promo code FREEPIZZADAY. And contractors, the trade deadline is come and gone, but at supplyhouse.com, you can still boost your stock with Trade Tuesday. On Tuesday, December 3rd, go to supplyhouse.com for pro size discounts on all the plumbing, heating, and HVAC products you need. Stock up for the season during our best sale of the year. Take it to the house, supplyhouse.com. Back after this on The Score.